Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Is gambling ruining Major League Baseball? And can the sport recover from the heavy pressure of market forces? Find out on Liberty Nation Radio.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so a Florida man's brake lights led deputies to a major fentanyl, heroin, and meth bust. Jeez. It was a routine traffic stop, and deputies discovered a ton, well, lots of grams of fentanyl and various illegal substances. Hernando County Sheriff, they said that this was back on April 12th, but they're now having all the illegal stuff now. They conducted a routine patrol when they spotted a green sedan, and they had all these equipment violations, malfunctioning brake lights, inoperable tag light, whatever. And the guy said, oh yeah, my brake lights, when they pulled him over, they're not working properly. And he consented to a search of the vehicle, telling deputies, there should be no drugs in here. Okay, when you say that, there's going to be drugs in the car. Like, what do you mean there should be? Like, you had some and you dropped them off, or like, you're going to get it? Like, what? And they found almost 34 grams of fentanyl, a gram of heroin, 12 grams of meth, 18 grams of, well, marijuana, and then all kinds of drug-related paraphernalia. But the fentanyl, that's a ton of fentanyl.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fentanyl. So they arrested him. He was accused of trafficking because he had the amounts. Possession of controlled substances, all kinds of stuff. So he went to Dupokie. Yeah, when you're like, no, there shouldn't be any drugs. That's like coming up to me and, you know, like, yeah, Dana, there shouldn't be any guns. I mean, there shouldn't be. I mean, I don't know.
Oops.
I'm fascinated by this story about this guy with the unpermitted dumps.
What?
So a Florida man operates unpermitted dumps, and the neighbors told on him. He's facing two civil lawsuits, Maximo Sanchez and criminal. How do you operate an unpermitted dump?
It's when you dump things on the ground and it's not like a dumpster or a landfill,
but does it act as a landfill and it just doesn't?
Apparently there's rules that he violated as to where this junk should be put.
This is in Tampa, and it's a facility, apparently. It's near the wetlands, which is apparently an environmentally sensitive area, and they said it could negatively impact water supply. And the guy promised to clean it up, and then he never did. And now he's facing civil lawsuits, fines, and criminal charges. And they said they have a three-story high mound of construction and debris. And the pile, it started on a vacant lot. And it's the vacant lot is on protected wetlands. And there's all kinds of trucks dumping debris at the site nonstop. And the guy, apparently he didn't have the required permit. And they said that it could seep into the water system because of how the land is what they're saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, when you see the photos of it, it's a giant dump site.
Yeah.
And he just decided to do it with...
I got to be honest, when I first saw the headline yesterday, I didn't think it was going to be about junk.
Oh, what did you think it was going to be? You...
I mean, it's Florida Man. Thought he was actually doing dumps.
You thought it was... Exactly. I mean, so that's the reason it's Florida Man.
Right.
So what do you think is going to happen? So, yeah, I just sent you a foot. Like, it looks like a huge, ginormous area.
Giant.
Yeah, it's huge. So, I just am shocked that only in Florida, man. What's happening? Our partners that will bring you the program, it's the Kel-Tec Gen 3 Sub 2K, the gun that folds in half. And I've told you, I've been the one to describe it as gun origami. And it's from an American Florida-based company, Kel-Tec. The Gen 3, and they have, there's a lot of variety with the Sub 2K, a lot of variety with it. And the Gen 3 version of it, first off, there's a couple of different differences. You have the optics. You don't have to detach the optics to fold it in half. The optics stay on, and it deploys super quick and easy. It's that rotating twist, just the twist and turn, that rotating forend. That's all it takes. And it deploys zeroed and ready to rock. But it's also chambered in 10 millimeter. You got now available in 10 millimeter. And this is the third generation. So the folding carbine rifle got a variety of calibers, now even more versatile with the new 10 millimeter chambering. And folds down to 16.5 inches for easy storage and transport. It accepts Glock mags. You have a simple and reliable blowback design. So you got really ease of maintenance and consistent performance. Lighter 5-pound trigger pull. Integrated M-lock. You got rails for accessories. It's ideal for home defense, backpacking, camping, everything that you need. And they make everything right here in the U.S. of A. So no worries about any kind of tariff impact. American materials and American workers. Learn more at KeltecWeapons.com. Innovation performance. Keltec, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons. Tell them Dana sent you.
There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation, but the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25. Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MACK25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com.
I don't read The New Yorker because I don't care. I don't live in New York. But this was too funny to not. I have a piece up at Substack called Never Dress Like Your Furniture Unless You're Rich. So they have this like super swanky photo spread in The New Yorker of all of these like big leftists and dirty hipsters. I will make an excuse. I exclude Martin Scorsese from this. I like Martin Scorsese. I like Martin Scorsese. First off, they took pictures of all these people in their living rooms, and Martin Scorsese's house is amazing, and I'm not going to... No, it's a goth dream, and he no criticism for him. Also, I appreciate the fact that after Alec Baldwin murdered a woman on set, that Hollywood was calling to get rid of guns on all films, and Scorsese went crazy on everybody saying, hell no. So, good for him. And he's not woke. Martin Scorsese is absolutely, like, the opposite of woke. He's a gem. He's a rare gem in Hollywood. So I exclude him. He's in this. But they were looking at like these New York artists and hipsters and all this stuff and taking photos of them in their living rooms. And can I ask a question? I'm not trying to sound like purposefully obtuse. Are shelves like not a thing anymore? Is it the reason I ask, do we just like put our stuff on the floor now? That's Martin Scorsese's house. Okay. That's him and his daughter, Francesca. Beautiful home, perfectly. And I mean, you got the lead glass, you got the cool. I mean, it's perfect. He's excluded. So, the other people, though, no. The other people in the spread, they don't have his taste. I mean, that's a goth dream. Come on, that's a goth dream. So they did this big spread, and the first thing I saw was nubby, worn carpets, books on the floor, because apparently it's really cool to pretend to be poor for shelves. And I don't even know who some of these people are. It was very important to make sure that no one in the spread have shoes or socks on. And I know that they were trying to like evoke this relaxing at home feel, but it was gross. Feet don't need to be seen. Put them away. It's gross. I just don't like them. They're nasty. They are unfortunate things that we have to deal with as humans. But it feels forced and awkward. It just feels like robotic and cringe. Like, there's this one living room. It's the first photo that I have. But it was this woman. She's barefoot. And she's standing on this nubby green, super saturated 70s avocado theme. Her husband's organized, like, he's arranging flowers. And the whole room, like, the carpet looks very thread-worn. The chairs look dilapidated. That's in Greenwich Village. That looks like it smells like stale cigarettes, feet, and gym, right? Like, what is the point of, like, what? Look at the nubby carpet. You're supposed to have, like, feel envy for this. Like they're like showcasing, like, this is the creme de la creme. One of my favorite, I mean, it's like literally from the 70s. When I was a kid, this is going to make sense in a moment. My grandmother had a garden shed. They did lots of stuff in the garden shed, moonshine in the bathtub, all kinds of stuff. But my grandmother and I once found a nest of like buttons and doll heads and coins and like a sock. And it was in a garden shed that this little wood rat, like, probably spent its whole little life running around collecting stuff, and that she trashed it in like minutes. And I thought about this when I saw Gloria Steinem's dresser top. She's in front of this like yellow, like ochre wall. And I was looking on top of her dresser, and my first thought was, who dusts all this garbage? She's got like a pack rat collection on top of her dresser. It's a rat's nest. It's weird. And she looks skeletal. She's the feminist sellout. Then you have Al Sharpton. And I don't know if you've ever, I've seen pictures of Al Sharpton's house before. He's got like this like two-story penthouse. And he's in front of a portrait of himself, predictably. And then he's got this spotless, bougie as all get out pet enclosure. Is that his actual bed? The pet enclosure has like an acrylic water bowl in it. People who have no idea what animals do apparently decided to make that. Maybe that's his little enclosure in his house. I don't know. The big thing, though, the pièce de la résistance, was the George Soros Nepo baby and Anthony Weiner's ex-wife, a.k.a. Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman. This is what kicked it all off. They are literally dressed like their chairs. Again, with the 70s avocado green. Because you can't be truly rich unless you can dress like your furniture. So here he's doing his best to convince you that he's a heterosexual male and that he likes this woman. And I just need to stop, full stop right here. They're glowering at the camera, as rich people do. They're not only in sync with each other, they're in sync with their literal actual furniture, because they're better and richer than you. He's a Nepo baby. I mean, can you afford to dress like your furniture? I don't think so. His little platform sneaks, they just give me total Clydesdale hoof vibes. And he's wearing manpries. You guys know what manpries are, right?
No.
Capris for men. And he's got just enough of that pale sausage cankle peeking through. Throw that photo back up, Juan. The one where you got the Nepo babies in green. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at that. Look at the pale sausage cankle peeking through. And he's got his Clydesdale platform sneaks on, right? Her trousers are like meticulously unhemmed. Like, they're rebelling against tailoring. And they, it has a laissez-faire attitude to like puzzles and feces and grime walking the streets of Manhattan. Because let's be real, they don't walk the streets of Manhattan. They ride on the backs of fat cherubs. They flit them about to and fro. And the cherubs' wings are made of dollars. That's what this is. So I don't know. The other one that I really, really love. By the way, look how, did they look like normal people? That's like Scott Evil, Dr. Evil's son, Scott, and his girlfriend in their Nepo baby house that this dude would never be able to afford if his daddy wasn't George Soros. Sure. But the other one that I thought was hysterical is the woman who's partially responsible for the scourge of modern art. I hate modern art. I hate modernity. I hate all of it. Her name's Agnes Gund. And she is sitting in her, apparently she only has one chair in her giant East Side expanse. And I joked, I was like, her and her dog take turns sitting in the one chair in their penthouse. And she's got this, like, all this modern art everywhere. Like, one of the pieces that she has is, I kid you not, a literal black canvas with one red stripe painted across. You know, that's worth more than like your city that you live in. That one painting is probably worth 11 quadrillion, frillion, pillion dollars. You know that. And she's just like sitting there in this chair, this like restoration hardware looking chair. And I mean, I don't even understand. I just hate the art. There was like, in addition to the Scorsese thing, there was one thing in here where it was just a framed thing of garbage pail kid cards. Now that I literally would punch out a kid on a playground to get a garbage pail kid card. Kane, that was like, Jolly Ranchers and Garbage Pail Kids were the currency for Gen X back in the day.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, in prison, they got like cigarettes. Okay, well, in playgrounds, it was Jolly Ranchers and Garbage Pail Kid cards. Yeah.
Even like Pokemon cards today, you couldn't even really... I mean, it's kind of that comparison. Yeah. You didn't have really any games or, you know, got to catch them all sort of thing.
But parents, oh my gosh, parents like Pokemon cards. Back then, they thought Garbage Pail Kid cards, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's of the devil. I don't even know who this lady is, but she is, I don't really like anything else in her apartment, but the professionally framed Garbage Pail Kid collection that she's got on her wall, it is chef's kiss. It's amazing. I do like that. That's the only thing that's like worth it. Oh my gosh. So they did, and I get it that they were just like showcasing different people. You can't tell me that there aren't any conservatives. They had AOC there. I was looking at what she was crocheting and it looks like garbage. Like, I can just tell that her gauge is all jacked up and she's that look. What is she trying to do? Like, it's all misshapen. I mean, even in its early stage, there's still some kind of form. Girl, you cannot crochet probably as well as you cannot make a drink. And how did her dog, who is not supposed to jump because French bulldogs jumping is bad for their back, get up on the sofa? Did she lift him up there? I don't know, but whatever. I just think it's just hysterical that they decided, like, let's look at these insufferably, except for Scorsese, these insufferably liberal people in their houses. And they're all trash. Like, they have no taste. There was no taste in any of it, except for Scorsese's. I mean, it looked dirty, Kane.
Yeah.
For those who don't understand, will you please explain the whole avocado green thing that was like in the 70s and then people who didn't remodel their houses, it went all the way up into the 90s?
I don't even understand it.
Like, appliances were that color.
No, everything was that color. Toasters, your hand mixers. I mean, everything was that color. I'm not kidding. Everything. Tabletops, like actual tables.
Oh, Micah.
Yeah. The floor.
Oh, my gosh.
Doorknobs. Everything was that color.
Aunt. Do you remember the stoves? And the refrigerators, were all that green, weird green color. Avocado green. What? They're trying to make it come back. And it looks dirty and shabby. I don't like it.
Well, yeah, it looks like how we grew up.
Yeah.
And we grew up kind of poor.
Yeah, we grew up poor.
So it's kind of like derelict chic is what they're trying to pull off right now.
It's like grimy, stinky chic. I don't even know how. Like, stinky chic. I don't even know how to...
But there is no positive psychological response to that color.
Why did they do the spread? Because was it to make us not like these people? Because I dislike them more now.
Nobody likes that color, though. Like, has anyone ever told you they prefer avocado green for anything?
And can we talk about the people that have the giant modern art pieces? I hate modern art so bad because it's just so unimaginative, honestly. Oh, this is my interpretation. Oh, shut up. You can't paint, and so you just did this. Shut up. But they have, like, nothing in their... Look at my big, completely obscene, totally doesn't work with the architecture or anything else, modern art piece. I'm so enlightened and so bleh. Gag me. I just... No. No thanks. No thanks. That's why Scorsese's is so perfect because it's all, like... It just works. Every bit of it works. But this is the stuff that they run. They run this stuff thinking that this is going to appeal to you. This will appeal to you, right? No. Oh, Lorraine notes in the 80s. Do you remember? Okay, so you had, I know we're going long, but hold up. Avocado green in the 70s. In the 80s, it was cornflower blue.
Oh, yeah.
I had a rich friend who had cornflower blue carpet. You guys remember that? Who puts blue carpet in their house? It doesn't go with anything. But cornflower, that was the big thing. God, and mauve. Is that right? Mauve?
Yeah,
that mauve. It's like a...
The purpley
pink color.
Pink.
I don't know. I don't do... Like, I'm like, that's
super
pink.
Super light purple.
I don't know. It's like soft pink. I don't know. But everything. Like, as she notes, like the toilets, the showers, the sinks. It's all that color.
Yes.
The appliances in your kitchen. I want my toilet to match my stove. I don't know, but that's what they think that this appeals to you because it's rich people in New York and that everybody in flyover or who is not in New York wants to be like this. Recently, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis legalized gold and silver as acceptable currency, meaning that Floridians can now make transactions in gold and silver, thus creating an alternative to the U.S. dollar. So I guess all the inflation and national debt that's spiraling out of control, not to mention the recent credit downgrade for the United States, has finally opened up all lawmakers' eyes. The writing has been on the wall for a long time, and it's time to protect yourself against the declining value of the dollar. And that's exactly why I partnered with Goldco, the top-rated precious metals company, to help you take a step towards protecting your financial future. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit that breaks it all down for you. And if you qualify, you could receive unlimited bonus silver, real silver, matched to your account, with no taxes or penalties. It's a smart move that could help you feel more secure in what lies ahead. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to get started. That's DanaLikesGold.com and move forward with confidence.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "Mr. Morgan, I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back, and we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this, everybody is a somebody. And nobody is a nobody. Visit ForThePeople.com to learn about our firm, Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Injured? Visit ForThePeople.com for an office near you.
President Trump keeps Iran guessing about possible U.S. military action. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. The Supreme Court scores a win for kids and common sense by upholding Tennessee's ban on trans treatments for kids. And even after last year's election, some Democrats want citizenship for every illegal. Man, they're slow learners. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently police in New Hampshire are investigating the theft of a trail camera that reviewed. They saw footage that identified a bear that stole it. A bear apparently stole the camera, clawed it off a tree, and another bear watched from a short distance away. They got the report of a camera theft, police did, and they said that it was very suspicious. They were kind of joking about it, but I've never seen where a bear could just steal a trail cam, but okay. Fancy snake. Reptile wranglers find a weird diamondback rattlesnake in Arizona. They shared a photo of the snake that they came across in the backyard of a Scottsdale home. These trappers called Rattlesnake Solutions, they posted photos to social media showing what appears to be a western diamondback rattlesnake that has a leopard-like color pattern. They said that the only normal thing about it was that the snake's bright white tail base had black spots, and that was it. So normally they have diamond-shaped patterns on their bodies, but this one said that it was a very weird pattern. Apparently, why are people even paying for a subscription for Netflix anyway? Netflix is going to start showing generative AI ads midway through their streams beginning next year, and they said that they're testing the amount and types of ads that they're willing to try to see what subscribers are willing to endure. And they said that it's for lower prices, but I mean, they're not lowering the prices, they're keeping them the same. So they said that they've created interactive mid-roll ads and pause ads that incorporate it, and that they can start seeing these ads in 2026. And I guess it's what, going to be in the middle of the show, I guess is what it is. The president of advertising at Netflix said they're going to be mid-roll ads.
I hated that when Amazon did that. Remember when Prime started doing that? God, I hated
they launched that. Their ad subscription tier in November of 22, and they have 300 total million subscribers. They got 94 million subscribers to the ad tier. So they said I don't know what they think that I. What's the point of paying for it if you're still going to have? That's just so stupid and shady. I think it's so lame. I don't know. Depends on how many ads. Because if I have to start watching a ton of ads, I guarantee you I'm not gonna. You know, if people are paying for it, I don't think you should be throwing ads in their face. It's not like radio where the people, the sponsors that you hear, pay for everything. That's what that is. So Washington Examiner says that clean energy is dead in the House. They were trying to incentivize and use tax incentives, essentially, to help grow nuclear power. But that's one of the things that apparently is on the cutting room floor for the sweeping fiscal overhaul. And I mean, I don't know. You can't. They're still going to consider funding Planned Parenthood with this. I don't know. Apparently, let's see. I don't know. It's a deer that was in a drain. Okay. A new pope got his own trading card, and it already outsold one of the most popular basketball players of all time. That actually is interesting. I didn't know that you could do a pope card, but apparently you can. It's Topps. They put together a trading card for Pope Leo ahead of his inauguration later this month. They said it's already breaking records, and it's now the best-selling non-sports Topps card. It outsold Lionel Messi, LeBron James, and John Cena. And of course, it's already being scalped. People are paying $195 and up just for the alternative art. That's crazy. That's $200 for a Pope card. And it even beat out Lionel Messi and LeBron James. That's insane. That's I've never heard of anything like that before, but okay, maybe, you know, Kane, we need to get into the baseball card business.
Yeah,
clearly, we are doing life wrong. The New York Times headline, I could just punch someone in the face over. I really could. I know that you guys saw this. The audacity of this piece from the New York Times. Quote, "We were badly misled about the event that changed our lives." They said we were badly misled. Of course, it's about coronavirus. The woohoo. Here is an actual sentence from this New York Times piece. Quote, "Yet in 2020, when people started speculating that a laboratory accident might have been the spark that started the COVID-19 pandemic, they were treated like kooks and cranks." Kane, mm-hmm. Who treated us like kooks and cranks?
Oh, you mean the left and the media?
The media.
Yeah.
Yeah, the left and the media, same thing. Yeah. The media. And obviously, it has been unraveled, and now the media wants to claim that they were misled. We were badly misled about the origin. When you were leading the witch hunt against all of the people who were raising concerns about this, the New York Times now needs to separate itself from this. I mean, they literally had headlines where they were besmirching good people who are asking questions about the origin. They were asking questions about cover-ups. They were asking questions about all of this. And now they want to play victim. Anybody who actually questioned the narrative that we were given in the press and asked about any kind of zoonotic origins, they were treated like witch doctors. They were treated they were persona non grata. They can't be allowed into the conversation. And not even on the origin. I mean, they went after people like Dr. Robert Malone that we had on, Dr. Tess Laurie. We had our videos pulled from YouTube, censored, because we asked questions on this program. I mean, it was censorship, and we know it was censorship at the highest levels. And now they want to act as though that, oh, well, we were misled. We got duped too. That's how I feel like they're trying to act like, no, we're victims like you. We were so misled. You know, what's next? Like, we were so misled. You know, women can't actually be men. Right. And men can't have babies. We were so misled. Like, what's next?
Well, you heard what they did with the vaccine. Now, the media was even putting out, well, no one was forced to take the vax. Nobody was forced.
No, they weren't.
But
here's this headline. Senator Tom Cotton repeats fringe theory of coronavirus origins.
Oh, thanks, media.
If you looked up like fringe and coronavirus in the New York Times and their search option, I mean, there's so many headlines that pop up over that. I mean, and this was a legitimate and taking something now that we accept as truth because the evidence supports it. Everybody had evidentiary based suspicions in the beginning that were immediately discounted in favor of the political narrative that they wanted to spin. And for them to try to retcon this and act like, oh, you weren't misled. You misled people. You were your reporters. And this goes back to what we opened the program with. You are the media. Your job is to, the purpose of your existence is to question government, is to question elected officials, is to question bureaucrats. That's your entire existence. If there was misleading, you misled. You weren't misled. You just swallowed it and took it at face value because it was easier for your political bottom line to do so. They didn't want to fall out of favor with the powers that be by asking questions. That's what the left does. And the left is, you know, the media is part of it. They don't ask questions anymore. Merely asking a question is a sign of betrayal. Someone is not accepting the narrative. They're not swallowing their narrative pill. They're asking a question. That means they're not on the same page. Thus, they are the enemy. That's how it's viewed. So questions aren't even allowed. There's no intellectual curiosity. Whatever they said went, and you had to accept it now. Now, because it doesn't cost any political capital for them. They can act like, oh yeah, we're one of you. We're questioning this. We were all misled. No, you misled people. We were the people that you tried to mislead. And when you couldn't mislead us, you wanted to impugn our characters and thereby taint any kind of association in the minds of anyone else that was still maybe making up their minds. I mean, they went after the best doctors in the world, the best medical experts, the best professionals. They persecuted the media story after story about these people. Now they want to act like they're one of us? No, you don't get to do that. Badly misled. Spare me with all of this. I think that exchange was a very good exchange, and I like Levitt's response. You're the reporter. That's your job. You investigate this stuff. Why? The bigger question is, why isn't the press interested in investigating things from the government? Remember, like the olden days of the old gumshoe reporter? That's gone. Nobody wants to ask those questions anymore. Everybody just wants a stupid, insipid hot take. They want a part of that attention economy. But they don't care about investigating anything. You know why? Partly because there's no rewards in it. There's no rewards in it. The only reason the New York Times is doing this now is to save their ass. That's it. They're trying to act like, oh, no, we're still reputationally clean. You can still trust us. You can still subscribe. But we know they were part of the problem.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast. We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope. Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.